be ready, but they're going to do it right. And so they're not going to be terrified. No. That was cute. All right. Here. Do we have it on the screen, Dave? Oh, that you've got it? Memorized? Get out. All right. There you go.
That night, some shepherds were out in the field nearby, washing their sheep. And an angel from the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord was shining around them, and suddenly they became very frightened.
The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, because I am bringing you good news. It will be a joy to all the people. Today your Savior was born in David's town, and he is Christ the Lord. This is how you will know him. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger."
Then a very large group of angels joined the first angel. All the angels were praising God, saying, "Give glory to God in heaven, and on earth let there be peace to the ones who please him."
Then the angels left the shepherds, and the angels went back to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. We will see this thing that God told us about."
Amen. That's good. Wow, that was fantastic. Wow, that was great. This morning I want to tell you the story of Christmas, and I want to go back beyond the time of mistletoes and candy canes and trees decorated with lights, all the way back to the beginning of the story, back to a time when God was all that there was. And we don't know much about that time. I see your hair. Wow. That's distracting. I'm going to preach over here. Back to a time before hair like that. Thanks for putting your best into it today, huh? Sorry about that. Stand up. Let them see this. We don't know much about that time because nobody was there and nobody saw it, and God hasn't told us too much about what was happening then. What we do know is that God decided to create a world. Again, we don't know why he decided to create this world. Maybe he got lonely. Maybe he got bored. Maybe he decided to do something really big, and this was what he had come up with. But he created a world, and he made wonderful and beautiful things to put into the world. And so there were planets in the sky, and there were stars, more than anybody could count. There were mountains with snow caps. There were deep blue seas with fish and all kinds of coral in them. There were blue skies with white clouds, and there were fields filled with green grass. And he created it all. He put creatures into that creation. He put skunks that stink, and he put cats that creep, and horses that gallop, and bees that sting. And he put them all into this creation. And when he was finished, he stood back and said, "This is good. I like it." But then as he looked at his creation just a little longer, he thought to himself, there is something missing here. There was nothing here that bore his image. I mean, everything was wonderful and beautiful in its own way, except for stink bugs. They weren't beautiful or wonderful in their own way. Nobody knows why he made them. But everything else was beautiful and wonderful in its own way. But there was nothing that bore his image. There was nothing that looked like him. It was as though he created a wonderful masterpiece, but had forgotten to sign it. And so God began to work on the way in which he would sign his masterpiece, where it would bear his image. And what he came up with was another creature, different than the rest, had two legs and two arms and two ears and one nose. And he created it in his own image and he named it Adam. And then he looked at Adam and watched him for a while, and Adam looked very, very lonely, and so he created him a helper, a spouse, a creature that was just like Adam, only it was different in every way, named Eve. And Adam and Eve was there, and they were in the garden that God had created for them, and God would watch his creation, and they would talk with each other, and they would walk together, and they would laugh, and they would play together, and sometimes God would go down with them, and he would walk with them, and he would talk with them as well. And God became infatuated with this creature, and he put them above all the other creatures, and he had endowed them with abilities the other creatures had not had, like the ability to reason and to think and to love at a degree that other creatures did not have. And slowly God began to fall in love with his creatures, these image bearers in ways that he had never loved the rest of his creation. Some would say that God was unwise in that he gave these creatures free will. Where he had not given other creatures the ability to resist him, he gave these creatures the ability to resist him. And that seemed like a bad choice from time to time. But when you love somebody, you want them to love you back. And the only way that you know that they really love you is if it's not forced, because if it's forced, it's really not love. And so God had given them the ability to return his love, and that also gave them the ability to resist his love. So you understand the heart of God when one day his creatures got together behind his back and they did the one thing he told them that they should not or could not do. Then when God went down to confront them over it, they hid. And as he called their names in the garden, they stayed hidden from him, although he knew where they were all the time. Things were never the same after that. God still loved the humans. He still loved his creatures, but they never really returned the love in the way that he loved them. And they went out and they began to build their own lives. They began to multiply and they got busy and they built houses and they had jobs. And then with their jobs, they ended up getting hobbies and they didn't have time for their creator anymore. And you wouldn't believe how bad it got. It reached a point where not only did they not have time for their creator, but many of them began to walk around and they would talk about being self-created. And you wouldn't believe this. Many of them begin to deny that a God even existed. And what became bad got worse because they began doing terrible, terrible things to each other. They began waging war against each other and killing each other and saying awful things about each other and breaking each other's hearts. And God was watching all of this. And he tried to get their attention to bring them back to him. And he would throw pebbles at their window at night, but they weren't listening to the pebbles coming. And so he began to take different approaches to try to get their attention directed from themselves to him. When he was good to them, when he sent them wonderful things, they ignored him, so he began to send them terrible things. Began to send them earthquakes and famines and plagues, and he would allow diseases to come in among them, all in hopes of turning them back to him, where they would seek him for help, and in hopes of, as they seek him for help, that they would fall in love with him again. But none of that seemed to make any difference at all. One day God had a council with his angels, and they were talking about this issue. And God said, I ought to just send somebody down there. If I sent one of us down, maybe that would make a difference. And the angel said, no, you don't want to do that. I mean, when you have sent somebody, they either ignore them or kill them. Every now and then you send a prophet. And the prophet is either thrown out of town or he's killed, buried in that town. You don't want to send anybody down there. But God said, you know, but if we sent one of our own, I mean, if one of us went and maybe he lived among them and got to where that, you know, spent time with them where they could sort of see him, that we weren't out to get them, that we were trying to love them and help them. Maybe that would make some difference. The angel said, no, that's a bad idea, because if you go down there, you're going to be at their mercy. And if you're at their mercy, something bad is bound to happen. These aren't nice creatures. But God had made up his mind. His son was there, and his son said, you know what, Father? I'll go down. I'll go down, and this is what I'll do. I'll be born among them. And I'll grow up among them. And they can see me, and they can see that we're not mad at them. We're not out to get them. We're out to help them. I'll be born among them, and I'll instruct them, and I'll be there with them. And maybe that will make a difference. The angels still didn't think that was a very good idea, but they could see that God was convinced that that's the way it was. And if God was convinced, then who are they to argue with God? And so they got on God's side and they said, any way we can help, we'll help you. Son laid down his crown and folded his robe, laid all his heavenly possessions aside. With that, he went through the atmosphere and he came into the earth and he went into the womb of a woman who was giving birth in Bethlehem. The angels saw this and they said, man, we're going to miss that. I mean, this is incredible. We can't miss this. And so the angels followed. They came through the atmosphere, and as they were going towards Bethlehem, they came across some shepherds who were out drinking and telling stories in the field near Bethlehem. And they came up on them and they spooked them. And one of the angels said to the other, you know, we ought to really say something. We ought not leave them in this condition. The angel stepped up and said, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For tonight, in the city of David, is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. The other angels came in behind them and said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. And in the far off distance, a baby's cry was heard. Amen.